Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. I don't know how many of you go through it, but you prepare a talk or something, and then you read it over, and you think, oh, this isn't worth anything. Why am I even bothering with this? But here it is. Several weeks ago, I was standing out in the foyer, and I was waiting for a meeting that was going to be happening here shortly, and watching people leave the church. And as they were walking out in the parking lot, some of them were walking just like there was going to a fire. They were just rushing out the door. They had to get to their car and get gone. They were out of here. And others were walking out, chatting with each other and talking. And others were walking out alone and maybe with their head down and their shoulders drooping, you know, like, oh boy, I still have the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And it got me to thinking, why do we come to church? It would be so much easier to stay at home, stay in bed, whatever, wouldn't it? Why do we bother coming to church? And why do we spend so much time making the sanctuary look beautiful for God? And is this all worth it? I got to thinking about all the different churches I visited over my lifetime. And the first one I thought of was my home church. I was born and raised in, well, then it was called Sanitarium, California. Now it's called Deer Park. And attended that church most of my life until I was 19. I didn't realize the blessing that I had of attending that church until I had left and no longer had the privilege of going there. Just a little side note, we lived across the stream from Elmshaven. And we would look out the kitchen window and see Elmshaven right there every day. And sometime during my childhood, they had General Conference in San Francisco. And I remember the elders of the church coming down to my dad and saying, will you have your son get all these old cars out of the yard so that all these people from all over the world that come to see Elmshaven won't have to see all these old cars? At that time, Roy Fitzpatrick and I were collecting cars. We would have people give us cars, and then we would take them to our place and sell them for $25 a piece, which at that time was a lot of money, it seemed like. So our yards always had cars coming and going. But anyway, I really appreciated, like Marvin and Marilyn King and Grover and Elaine and different ones that were part of my childhood, part of the time spent in that church. So I took that memory away. I was not always the best person, the best child in that church. I was always, seemed like getting in trouble of some sort. But I appreciated that. And the church was always supportive throughout my life up until I moved away from there. And then in 1965, good old Uncle Sam decided that he had to have my help to fight the Vietnam War. You can imagine a young person being taken away from their home. I think I was 19 at the time, and taken down to Fort Ord, California. At that time, Fort Ord was under a quarantine because there was a spinal meningitis outbreak. And so the people that were coming in were restricted to a small area, and there was no way to get to the chapel. Because I was the tallest one in my group, they made me an honorary sergeant, which meant I was in charge of this barracks of 50 or 60 guys. And the privilege of that was having my own room. And so Friday night came after a week of physicals and clothes being passed out and orientation and all the other things that they could cram into a week. And Friday night came and there was nothing planned. So I was in my room writing a letter or something, I don't remember what for sure, and there was a knock on my door. And there was all four or five guys standing there, and they started just really nervous, almost as nervous as I am right now. And they started, we're Seventh-day Adventists, and we don't work on Friday night or Sabbath, and we don't know what to do for tomorrow, and they just kept going on, and I just kind of smiled and let them finish. And I says, okay, I'm an Adventist too. We'll talk to the sergeant in the morning. We'll get it straightened out. Don't worry, you know, it'll work out. And because the base was under quarantine and we couldn't go to the chapel, the chaplain came and picked us up on Sabbath morning, took us to his house, and his wife had prepared a meal for us. She and the children were not there. And we spent Sabbath at his house with fellowship and good food. I've always been grateful for that. And as we walked away from that, I couldn't help but think that I wish I could go back and thank him for doing that for us. From there, I was sent to San Antonio, Texas, Fort Sam Houston. In San Antonio at that time, as we were going through basic and AIT, there was a servicemen's center that was right beside the church. And so on the weekends that we could get a pass, we would go there and be able to just spend time with fellow Christians. And it was such a blessing. And I've always remembered that. And here again, wished I could thank them for doing that for us. Well, there would be 20 or 30 guys in this. It was a house, really, but it had been converted so that it could bunk that many people. It was really a nice time. 1969, I started driving truck. And one of those decisions you look back on later and you think, what in the world was I thinking? But I was driving for the Michigan Conference. And as a result of that, I went all over the United States. And I would come into a strange town and look in the phone book. And I would think, okay, where's the church? Can I get to it? Sometimes I would walk. Sometimes I would unhook the truck, and I would take that to where I was going. Speaking of walking made me think of one other experience when I was in Washington, D.C., in Maryland, still in the Army. We would take the shuttle bus from where we were staying to Walter Reed Hospital, and then walk from there to the church at Columbia CUC. And one particular morning in the wintertime, there was three of us that were walking there, dressed in suits. The one guy that was with us didn't even have a jacket on. And we walked to church. And between Sabbath school and church, it was like, I guess, 2 or 3 miles, I'm thinking. Just regular shoes, suit. And during church, somebody says, hey, it's snowing outside. Snowing? What do you mean snowing? And so we got to lunchtime, and it was really snowing by this time. Well, I don't want to walk back to the base in this snow like this. Well, let's have lunch and we'll do something here in the afternoon. So we stayed there, and it kept snowing, and it kept snowing. And pretty soon there was like 2 feet of snow on the ground. Couldn't even get the cars out of the parking lot. Okay, how are we going to get back to base? One guy lost his car on the freeway because there was so much snow. His car died, and he couldn't even find it for 3 days. There was so much snow there. But anyway, that was another Sabbath experience that I wasn't really thinking about presenting. As I was driving truck, I went to churches in various sizes. From the biggest one I went to was Loma Linda University Church. Huge church, just huge. You could walk in and out of there and nobody would even know you were there. And the smallest church was in Liberal, Kansas. That church was so tiny. There was maybe 10 members left. At one point, that church had been a really nice, thriving church. You could see it from the construction of the building, and it had a church school at one time. But I went there, and as I was walking away from that church, I can remember thinking, I wish I could get a 3ABN dish for this church so that they could have a sermon, because all they had was Sabbath school. Nobody showed up to give a sermon. So after Sabbath school, we left, and that was it. That was the end of their worship service. In Wyoming, the people would drive 150 miles to come to church. And this little tiny, tiny church, when I was there, there was nobody to give a sermon. It was just these few little people from all over, from ranches all over the place. They'd come to share in the experience of the Lord and what he had done, you know, what he was going to do for them. In Toledo, Ohio, there was a church I went to that was a huge church. I don't remember how big it was, but it was large, and it had a big wall around it, I remember that, and the iron gates, you know, a really fancy church. And I walked in and sat down, and as I was sitting there, there was a girl came up to me, and she says, are you a visitor? Yeah, I'm a visitor. Okay, good, good. We have a potluck for visitors. Oh, that's great. And then she left. And after church, I got up, and I walked out in the foyer, and I didn't see anybody going any particular direction, so I just was headed for the door, and she came up and grabbed my arm. No, the potluck is this way. So So she grabbed me and drug me off to the side there, and there was probably 8 or 10 people in there, and they had food prepared, and I was the only visitor. And they kept hovering around me, making sure I had everything I wanted, and I was kind of glad to get out of there because I didn't really like the pressure. This was something great for them, that they enjoyed showing the visitors a special welcome. There was another church I went to in Morro Bay, California. I went there and walked in and sat down, and a lady came up to me to ask me where I was from, and her third question was, "Are you married?" I said, "Yes, I'm married." But afterward, she introduced me at the potluck to this other lady that had an 8- or 10-year-old boy. And she was single, and she started talking, and she was trying to sell herself, just trying to be friendly. When I left that church, I was kind of looking over my shoulder to make sure nobody was following me. All the churches I visited, some places I went, the people would take me into their home and maybe take me to visit their friends or show me the sights around town, or some places I didn't even talk to anybody, just walked in and had Sabbath school, church, and then left. No real interaction. I have spent this time reminiscing to ask, how are we doing in our fellowship? When people walk away from our fellowship, what impression are they taking with them? And what can we do to improve that impression? What can we learn? The last church that I wanted to talk about was in Des Moines, Iowa. And Mike and I were running team at that time. And we started, we got to Des Moines, and we were just exhausted from a week of running 24 hours a day, trying to get as far as we could. And so we got a motel and got out the phone book and started looking for a church and found the one that was the closest, and okay, this is how we get to it. And so Sabbath morning, we unhooked the truck and drove over there, and the closer we got to this church, the more run down the area was. It was really a shambles. And we pulled up to the church. It was just off-street parking. There wasn't even any parking in the parking lot. Went inside, and we were the only white faces there. And that was the warmest church that I have experienced. They didn't make us feel like we were on a pedestal or anything else. They just accepted us. They greeted us. We went in and sat down. And between Sabbath school and church and before Sabbath school, there was a constant stream of people, young children, older people, men, women, coming by, shaking our hand, introducing themselves. Just really made us feel comfortable and welcome, and made sure that we went to potluck. The potluck was a little tiny room. There was hardly room to get the chairs up to the table. It was so small. It was just tiny. But yet they were accepting and warm, and they wanted us to be sure that we felt welcome. It was a really neat experience. When we drove away from there, we were parked behind a little lady that was trying to get in her car, and the doors didn't work. It was a station wagon, and she had to get in through the back of the station wagon and climb over the seats to drive away. The thing was so dilapidated. But yet she was just so friendly, and she showed us the better way to get out of there than what we'd got in. Really loving, kind people. When we went up to the conference for Share Him Evangelism, they taught us to make friends in the community with the object of sharing Christ. But if the friendship does not come from the heart, it is a waste of time. The book that I have that I've talked about before is entitled Not God's Type, and she makes a statement in there that if we share Christ with just the object of winning them, if we share our friendship with just the object of winning them to Christ, it is salesmanship, using Christ as the product. And none of us want to be in that position. We all want Christ to be the center of everything that we do, say, and think. Is it possible for a person to come into our church and leave without anyone speaking to them? I used to try to do that. I used to make a game out of it, see if I could get in and out of church without anybody talking to me. And that made for a very long and lonely Sabbath. And I don't recommend that to anybody. So, why do we come to church? An article in The Signs from June 2010 entitled Why Church brings out several reasons. Active faith and church attendance helps foster healthier and more energetic youth and adults. Church helps us grow in faith. Just the interaction of members, knowing that someone else is there that can share our experiences And I pray that that does happen. I pray that nobody comes into this church without feeling that there is somebody here that cares. Church attendance gives happier marriages, brings holistic healing, teaches Bible truths, provides opportunity to serve, builds friendships, changes you for the better, guides you in financial planning. You ever thought about that? And encourages music appreciation, because we always have good songs. I have never walked out of church thinking it was a waste of time. It has always been a blessing. Shall we bow our heads for closing prayer? Father, we have come to receive a blessing from you. I thank you that you have given it to us. I pray, Lord, that we will keep our eyes open for opportunities to meet the needs of those who come here, not only those in the community, but those here in our congregation that are feeling discouraged and left out. Lord, please be with each one of them. Amen.